Viewers and listeners too about your new album. Like, what was the inspiration behind it? I understand, you know, I've read that you were in the car with your daughter and it sort of talked about some of the, you know, like trap music, or I understand. Could you tell us? Because I would like you to tell it, obviously.
Okay. So I think it was the first summer of the pandemic. And my daughter and I were driving up to the cottage, and I said, okay, but if you're in the passenger seat, you got to play DJ, right? So she's got a phone and she's kind of, you know, picking out songs she likes. And I was surprised. I mean, it's a funny thing. When kids are little, they don't surprise you with anything. Everything they know, you know, because, you know, you bought them their books or whatever, you know what's going on. But at a certain point, they end up developing all sorts of interests and pursuing, you know, different music genres and things. And so she was playing all this music I'd never heard of. And I thought, well, I'm a musician. I should know this, you know. And some of it was amazing. It was kind of trap music. And some of it was infused with kind of Eastern elements. And I was just like, wow, I love that. And that's kind of a little bit close to where I live musically. And I sort of thought, if you use trap beats instead of some of these world beats that I've been doing, and mix that with my guitar, what do you end up with? So I started working on that the first summer. And then at a certain point, I sort of stopped and went on to making these YouTube videos. I did one a week. That was kind of another side project. And I did that from about January to May. And then the second summer, I came back to that album. It was good to take some time off, because when I listened to it, I realized, okay, this is a little too much trap and not enough me, you know, and I need to kind of put more of the things I love in music. So I actually put more actual, you know, real percussion, sort of real, meaning that somebody played it, you know, it's got that organic, slightly out of time element. Do you know what I mean? That it wasn't, you know, there's not that sort of clock like precision of a computer. And also to work with this amazing violinist, Fethi Najim, who I've been working with, and he plays violin. He's from Algeria, but he also plays mando and gumbre and all sorts of instruments. And he just had sort of added all sorts of amazing sounds and tonalities and, you know, places to go. So it was fun. I really enjoyed it. And the album, you know, ended up being called Libre because I recorded one song and released it just as one of these YouTube videos for my fans. And I sort of said, yeah, I just wrote this today and I don't have a name for it. What do you think it should be called? And I got like 100 different title suggestions that were all like freedom, escape, you know, sort of, like you could tell everybody been in their house way too long. Right? And so I thought, yeah, message received. So I called the album Libre.
I love it. I love the album cover.
Oh, thank you. That was my daughter.
So tell us, please.
Yes. My daughter was experimenting with making handmade stamps, you know, where you draw something and then you carve it out on a stamp and then you stamp it with different colors and things. And I was like, oh my God, those are beautiful. I said, could you make one for me of a guitar? And she did that. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. Could you make one of this instrument? I started showing her different instruments, you know, and she made a whole bunch of them. And I was like, yeah, I love them. They're beautiful. They're kind of, they're very expressive. And, you know, it's that thing that art is often about being far from perfect. You know what I mean? It's often about that vulnerability that comes when something, you know, is really inaccurate. You know, there are parts of the image that are kind of disappearing or didn't get enough ink or whatever. And there's something about that that touches us more than if it was a perfect, you know, photograph of this instrument. I ended up sending the images all off to this guy who's designed all my covers. And I was like, am I nuts? Is this not beautiful? And he said, oh yeah, it's beautiful. So he sort of put it all together and that was the cover. And in fact, it's been a lot of the artwork and the posters and everything. It's really kind of nice to have, you know, every day I look around and I see, you know, where's my daughter's work?
Yes, no, it's warm colors in it. Like, it's very special because, you know, we have the family, your family's involved and you know, capacity of your life. And I love your quote, if I'm correct, my music is a reflection of my life, which has been a little bit all over the place, which is guitar player. That's where I found your quote.
Oh, okay. And
so, I mean, you know, you're having a family involved is really special. And so how does it make you feel when, you know, you have your daughter, the album cover and, just keeping it all in the family, in other words.
Well, no, I love it because you know, she was doing me a favor. She, you know, I needed an album cover. And I, you know, there have been many years when we've really struggled to come up with an album cover that I felt excited about. And that one came together over a weekend. We were on vacation and we're, you know, we're sitting, my mother has a schoolhouse up in the country. And we were sitting at the table. And I was like, can you do one of those for me? There you go. I took a picture with my phone. This is how it works now. I took a picture with my phone and sent it to my designer and off we go. It's, you know, it is crazy compared to how it used to be when you would create art. That would just be out of the question. You don't do things like that. I love the fact that I can include her work in what I'm doing. And she helped me with some of the videos during the pandemic where, you know, I could shoot things with a tripod or even with a motorized stabilizer or motorized track. But sometimes I needed handheld shots. I just wanted that shaky kind of organic human holding a camera. And I'd go down and knock on her door and ask for the cake. You know, and she loved it. She's like, yeah, anytime. You know, she just loves. And you know, and when I was, I remember when I was about 19, I, you know, had just made that decision to be a professional guitarist, and I was starting to take it more seriously, and I was composing constantly in the basement. And my cousin gave me, my first gig. She eventually worked for Cirque du Soleil. She had been a national ballet dancer, but she, at that time, she was being a choreographer, and she was working on a piece that was going to premiere at the National Arts Center in Ottawa, and she's like, can you write this score for me? And I was like, yeah, can I? And it was an amazing opportunity for somebody like me because, you know, when you're 19, you know, most of the time you're thinking like, what am I going to do for a summer job? Am I going to have to go and, you know, whatever, load trucks or whatever? And instead I got to spend the summer composing music and recording and then watching the premiere. And she was doing me a huge favor, but I think if you asked her, she was like, no, that was the music I wanted to work with. And that's how I felt with my daughter. It's like, yeah, you know, she made me a beautiful album cover and it's one of my favorites. So like, you know, I don't feel like it was any real compromise here.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And Jesse, tell us more about the album. Like there's Solace, right? So what was the inspiration behind that song, and then there's Updraft as well. And can you tell us?
It's funny. I think people often ask me, you know, they say, "What was this song about?" You know, because I picture people say, "I picture like a woman on a horseback on a cliff," and you know, it's like with me, it's like I want to do something with cello. Like it's really that simple. You start kind of, you know,
guitar and cello.
Yeah, you kind of, like I love guitar and cello. I love cello. Period. So most of the music I do has got a guitar in it, but so it's really about what do I want? What else do I want to have?
It's beautiful. I love the video. And
so it was simply that I wanted to do something with cello. And you know, the thing about instrumental music is that because there's no lyrics, I'm not always talking about something specific. There have been a few songs over the years where I was really trying to kind of mining my emotions on a certain, you know, something I'd been through. But most of the time, you're searching for that kind of those feelings. They wanted, you know, something that makes a hair stand up on the back of your neck. And, you know, you're trying different ideas and you're playing different things and just trying to find something that feels emotionally honest and vulnerable. And I think, especially as a, you know, as a guitar player, there's a real tendency. There's, you know, I don't know if you ever Googled guitar shredding videos, but there are a lot of guitars out there who play, you know, blinding speed and super fast. And certainly as a teenager, I wanted to do that too. And I practiced that a lot. And in concert, I do it. But I do find that, you know, I feel like technique is kind of like, it's kind of like spice or salt, you know, a little bit is all you need just to kind of make things a little bit exciting. But you have to be very sparse or else it can destroy the meal. You know what I mean? Like really at the end of the day, you know, nobody wants to eat a block of pepper or a block of salt. You know what I mean? The emotional content of a song has to just come from your heart, and it can't be about, you know, your technique or some, you know, chord progression you want to explore or some harmonic theory you want. It's got to really be something that touches you and makes you feel a certain way. And that's all I ever do. I just kind of try to find those feelings, and I don't always know what they mean because they're just notes floating in the ether, you know what I mean? So it's pretty abstract.
And then with updrafts, or is with drums and bass, is that like, how did you, I'm going to ask any inspiration, you know?
It's the same thing. Like, you know, some of the songs that I do are rumbas. You know what I mean? There were a couple that were just mild, you know, where it kind of came from. It's that Gypsy Kings thing, right? Where it's like that very Camargue sounding rumba where the guitar is like a percussion instrument almost. You're pounding the guitar and there's this sort of driving chug to the music. And I always loved rumbas. Over the years, you know, my first few albums were rumba intensive. And then over the years, I'd sort of gone off and explored other areas. But every so often, I'll come back and I'll do a couple of rumbas. And updraft is certainly one of those where you just kind of go, okay, this is, you know, this is kind of, it's where I come from. You know what I mean? This is my musical roots. You know, they're all like, they're each song on the album is sort of exploring something else I want to pursue, some other timbre I want to work with or some artist I want to collaborate with. And you know, sometimes I find that when you're collaborating with other artists, the trick to that is to not always go in with a lot of preconceived notions. Not go, okay, I want to do this. Sometimes you just call them up and you see what happens. And sometimes the magic is in those sort of discoveries, right? Those sort of unexpected, like, oh wow, I didn't know you did that. That's fantastic. Yeah, let me try this. You know, and if you come in with a lot of ideas to begin with, you're not open to whatever it is they may have to offer. So certainly with Petty was like that. There's a Tamar Lana, who's a singer. She's on some of the tracks on this album. She's a lovely, wonderful singer. People like that, you just kind of, you want to, you know, let them do their thing. You know, just try not to get in the way.
Yeah. So, Justin, what would you like people to take away from your music?
It's funny. My music, you know, may mean one thing to me, and I don't ever want to prescribe what it means for other people. And it's like when I'm, the hardest part for me of these songs is not the music, it's coming up with a title, because I want a title that somehow is evocative without grounding it and making it about something specific. I don't want to dictate what a piece of music is to somebody else, because as I said, you know, like, I love a great lyric, I love a great song, because you can actually talk about real things. But with instrumental music, you know, one of its few benefits is that it can really be it can mean something totally different to everybody who listens to it. It can really be about anything because there's no lyrics, right? So, and I like that. I like not getting in the way of that. I try to have it just be, you know, here it is. This is what my, you know, these are the emotions. Make of it what you will, you know. And I sort of feel like that's, that's kind of what I do.
Yes, and the feeling you get, it touches your soul in different ways, and it can be like looking at an art painting, but getting a different perspective from it.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's a bit like abstract art, where, I mean, it's funny, because I actually don't think of instrumental music as being abstract. I think of sort of, you know, well, tonalism as being abstract, or passage jazz, or whatever, you know, people who really go outside and the rules of music. Whereas, but I do feel like at least, you know, it's non-representational. When you listen to this, you know, it can be about anything, really.
Yes, and so Jesse, you're on tour and you're performing in Vancouver on Wednesday. Can you tell us more where you're going next? I mean, and you're going to the U.S. too, right? You're
going to Canada. We've done 5 or 4 tours in the U.S. this year. I think 4. We did 4, okay. 4 tours in the U.S. and this is our 2nd tour in Canada.
Okay.
This tour we're actually on now was originally supposed to happen in February, but we had to postpone it again because of the Omicron thing. And then at the end of this tour, I actually get about, I think, 5 months off. Off is a relative term. I have to maybe start working on the next record and I want to develop a trio show. And, you know, there's things I have to do at home, but we won't be touring until after this. We won't be touring until next April. And so next year, the plan is to do more Canadian touring, a little bit more American touring, and then get over to Europe. That's the plan. So yeah, gotta make hay while the sun shines, or while we're not in lockdown.
No, it's great, and you know, I'm excited for you. I'm excited to come to your show, and it's just wonderful. And I mean, what is next for you? I mean, as right now, I mean, I know you're on tour, but anything else that
we're working on? No, really. You know, it's hard enough. Just to kind of, you want to keep enough energy for the show. You don't want to be dividing your time too much. And then, as I said, after we finish this tour, I guess that, you know, the next record has to start. That you know, there's usually quite a while from when you start writing to when the album is finished recording. Especially if you're me, not if you're Diana Krall, but if you're me, it takes forever. She somehow just, you know, keeps knocking it out of the park every time. So that's all. I'll just keep doing my thing. I you know, I saw the great Andre Segovia play when I was a little kid. I think I might have been 10 or 13 or something.
Oh, wow.
And he was an old man. He came to Toronto, he played on Massey Hall, you know, on the stage. He walked out, just a solo guitar, and these big fingers, thick like sausages. You're like, can he play with those hands? He sat down and played beautifully. And I sort of thought, I want to be, that's me when I get to be his age. I want to still be doing concerts. So, I'm getting up there.
For more information, where can people find you and check you out?
All the usual, like Google my name, it'll probably all come up. But jessiecook.com. I have 4 social medias. Beware. I should be very
careful.
Beware there. If you Google Jesse Cook on Instagram, whatever, you'll get 6 or 7 Jesse Cooks. Only one of them is me. The rest are fake accounts. Okay. That's the world of the internet now.
Thank you so much, Nelsie. I really enjoyed our time together, and it was great.